Welcome to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Show, live from Ferd Sports Bar and Grill, providing a positive perspective from the peewees to the preps to the pros in Champa Bay. Now, here's your host, Mike Rickard.
My career is in the next level, so I got to cut out and get to work.
Well, thank you for hanging with the old man as I just had the volume remote. It's right there. Behind the fan. Up, right up above you there.
A little administrative work. We had to.
That little live radio as we... all right, so you're going to go and study all afternoon?
Yeah, I got a date later.
What you're actually going to do. You are going with Vickers, and you're grabbing that Coors Light, and you're going snook.
We're going to snook fish
snook
it.
Hunting.
Snook fish, and we're going to talk...
technology.
We're going to talk about how Michigan State and Penn State are superior to Iowa.
And you're going to go out there and unfairly pursue these poor specimens in the water with technology.
With radar and Wi-Fi and HDMI cords and nets.
Exactly. All right. Well, have a great time. I'll talk to you later today or tomorrow, my friend.
Always a pleasure, Mike.
He's the Big O, Oscar Garner III, and now... He's been, I think he was on like my fifth show almost 2 years ago. And that is Michael Lawrence, the author of Curveball at the Crossroads.
Mike, always good to see you.
If I would turn your mic up.
Yeah, Mike, and talking into the mic. Mike, always good to see you.
How you been, brother?
Doing well.
But chop at the drop today for his FSU grads. Wonder why you're down here.
Hey, you know, it's FSU all the way, you know. Although I did get the... graduate degree at USF, so I'm a bull as well. But more money's going to FSU, so my heart will always be with FSU.
Okay, I'm trying to figure out. The Big O set all this up.
This mic's working.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Jeez, we actually got through the 7-8 kids that use the mics, and we know where we're at, which is unusual here.
Hey,
on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. And we are live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill across from Tropicana Field. We're at 410. They take on the Orioles. Michael will elaborate on his distaste right now for the way they're playing. And, of course, it's Chop at the Trop. We've got a concert down here at Ferg's. And we've got the pirate ship. Come on down and have your picture taken. And then tonight at 7:30 at Raymond James Stadium, and it's going to be the Bucks watch party, we've got a kickoff. And it is the Miami Dolphins and the Tampa Bay Bucks in their only preseason home opener. And then on the 11th, they play the Dallas Cowboys.
Nice. Man, it's a full day of sports.
And that's the way it's going to be all the way through September. I love those doubleheader weekends, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You get a little Rays, you get a little Bucks, you get college football. Doesn't get any better than this.
No.
Let's talk about Rays as you examine this team and what's going on. And
Where do we start? So you got to start with injuries.
This is your segment, brother.
Yeah, we got to start with injuries. I mean, you know, you've got so many people still on the disabled list, still coming back. And then you've got some guys who have not done as well as they should have, you know, out on the field. You know, Wander Franco is still running around the last few days here at the Trop, so he should be back soon. So Glasnow throwing bullpen sessions. He's rumored to come back by the end of the year. So, yeah, the Rays, and then Margot is in Durham right now, doing a rehab stint. So right there, there's two offensive players and a pitcher that we could have back by September. They're still lingering just behind the wild card. But, you know, it's an interesting year. Injuries are just killing them. So when you have half your team on the disabled list, you know, you gotta try and stay afloat with bubblegum and duct tape. And the Rays are good at that. The Rays are definitely good at bubble gum and duct tape, but it can only...
Bubble gum and duct tape.
Bubble gum and duct tape. Come on, Mike. You know, you definitely patched a few cars together in your day.
Oh, exactly. All right. I know one of the topics you wanted to talk about is the great Vin Scully.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Let's talk about the great Vin Scully.
Well, let me ask you. Let me turn the table here on you. You've been in radio for a while. How has Vin Scully influenced you?
Well, I think he was, and he actually, you know, we have the On the Tee Florida show. He actually impacted the great game of golf as well. But there wasn't a better professional, in my opinion. And what I loved about it is he had that incredible ability after something took place, spectacular, silence. Yeah. He would let the audience, first of all, he painted the picture so superbly, and you would hear it, and you're envisioning Dodger Stadium, you're envisioning Yankee Stadium, you know, wherever he may be doing the broadcast from, in your mind, and you and I both love radio from a baseball perspective, and then he just sit back and allow you to envision and capture the moment. That's and on television, same thing.
Yep. That's what I really like. He'd never scream. You know, oh my God, there's a game running home run.
He never did a Harry Carey.
Yeah, yeah. And there's room for those. But just the calm and let the story unfold is, you know, as a storyteller, as a novelist now, I guess I can consider myself a novelist, letting the story unfold and letting the story tell itself, there's a magic to that. There's a magic to, you know, if I wanted to, I could have written every word in my book in capital letters, you know, and it sound like I'm yelling at you throughout the whole book. But I want to subtly tell you the story and for you to get excited based on what you're seeing and what you're feeling.
Well, I just talked to, who did I talk to? Oh, Ray Kennedy. You met Ray. Okay. And he's you actually gave him a book, a signed book.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay,
yeah, yeah. You talked to Ray. And he is three quarters through Curveball at the Crossroads, and he's loving it.
Oh, fantastic. That's great to hear.
So let's talk a little bit about that, and then we'll go back to baseball because I've got some topics I want to touch upon. Let's talk about what year did you, was it 2021?
So I published the first edition in 2020. That was November 2020 with the first edition, with the first cover. The second cover that I had redesigned by an artist called Mojo Hand, and it's got the flames and home plate. It's so much of a better, stronger cover. And so we republished the second edition in November 2021. So we had a year of the first edition. Now we're going on a year of the second edition. Second edition is doing so much better. You know, I can't talk highly enough about some of the great words. And you know, some people have just been praising the book. And, you know, I've got 4.9 out of 5 on Amazon, which is superb. And I'm so thankful that people are really digging what I've written. So it's been a lot. You know, it's been a fun ride. Been a really fun ride. So I'll be here at Ferg's. I'll be, you know, I'm doing a raffle of a couple of signed copies with the Pinellas Seminole Club today. And then I'm going to be outside of Ferg's selling some books for $15 each for some signed copies of Curveball at the Crossroads named Runner Up, best book by a local author in creative loafing last year. So
I was going to set up out front today, but I was concerned of the craziness, but it hasn't even begun yet.
No, the game's at 4.
So. Yeah, but I thought maybe you Florida State Seminole nuts would be down here.
Oh, we take over.
And when the DJ booth kicks in, it potentially kicks you off the Wi-Fi.
Yes.
So
yes.
Your opportunity to be on as well as distribute books, I apologize for, but you'll still move some books because it's a great book, folks. All right, so let's look at there's 49 games left in the season.
Yep.
And the Rays are now one game out of the wild card race.
One game out of the wild card, yep.
And at one point 3 weeks ago, we had 17 people on the IL.
That's
17.
A couple of folks have started to come back, but we're still missing some big players.
What are your predictions for our ability to make it to the wild card? It all predicates on health.
Right.
But
I think the scary thing is that some of these teams that we used to just check off as like Baltimore, we won every single game against Baltimore last year. Like you used to be able to roll.
But you saw the young talent they had coming up.
They're really, really good.
They're loaded. Like Mountcastle, I met his folks. I love that cat. They come down here every game.
And then the bullpen. Their bullpen was horrible last year. If you were down by one run going into like the sixth, seventh inning against Baltimore, you knew you were going to win. Because their bullpen was just terrible.
That's what they're saying about the Rays right now.
Yeah, our bullpen is not fun. Not fun to watch at all.
Do we really have a bullpen?
No, it's just a bunch of collection of guys that they just kind of
exactly.
You know, Adam is real good. Fairbanks came back, I believe, last week. So you know, there's definitely some guys that are coming back, and that's what they need. That depth in the bullpen. Some of those, you know, some of the arms got to come back, and they get that depth. You know, Yarbrough, you can move him to the bullpen. There's just a lot of guys a lot of arms that the Rays have done really well with that just are not there this year.
Well, let's take a look at the rest of August.
Yeah, okay.
Of course, we got three, you know, shellac last night, 10-3. which is sad.
Hey, Yu Chang pitched coming out of the bullpen, so we replaced Brett Phillips with a utility infielder.
Yeah. What'd you think of that move?
That makes me cry.
It's sad.
Brett Phillips.
You've got that much passion. He's a Seminole grad. He loved, you know, he's got a smile on his face regardless of the circumstances at any time. He's motivational in the clubhouse. The fan base loves him. That's why I got a real issue as I look at the top here at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill with the decisions made at the top.
He was hitting 150.
I know.
I mean, that's... He had a couple of clutch home runs, and he was hitting 150. And they got Jose Siri, who's one of the fastest guys in the league. Young, he's 24, 25. He can play the same kind of center field that Brett Phillips do, and he gives him a few years younger, obviously the contract that's so important for the Rays. And he's fast. He can still steal those bases and everything like that. So he's just a younger version of Brett Phillips, and maybe he can hit a little bit better, you know? Brett Phillips, he was struggling this year, and
I did.
Love the guy.
Forget the emotional equity that we had in him.
I hope he comes back as an ambassador. Carlos Pena came back when he retired. He came back and he worked for the Rays. Orestes Destrades worked for us as, both for Bally Sports and as an ambassador for the team. I hope Brett Phillips comes back as an ambassador for the team. And, just when his career's done, just stay here in the area and work as like a goodwill. I'd love to see him here when we open up the whatever new stadium, wherever it's going to be. I'd love for Brett Phillips to
be right across the street, buddy.
Yep.
So, obviously, 4:10 pitch today.
Yep.
Chop the trop. Tomorrow, 1:40, at Orioles. We need to take 2 out of 3 there.
Yep. Yeah, we need.
Then we travel to New York for 3.
Oh. They haven't been playing too good lately.
They haven't been playing too good yet. They'll probably wake their bats up. I mean, how about Judge? 46 dingers right now.
46.
But the Red Sox beat him.
I think he hit 60.
You think he's just...
I think Judge,
no PEDs.
No, he's just a big dude.
He's a monster.
He can hit the ball,
This is where we've got to have success. Then we've got 4 at home against the Royals.
Right. Got to win 3 out of 4 of those.
Then we've got I always want to say Anaheim. We've got the Los Angeles Angels. We've got 4 at home. We've got to take 3 out of 4 there.
That's not easy. I mean,
no. There'll be a ton of people there because of Ohtani.
Ohtani's awesome.
He's a draw. He's a magnet.
I don't think he'll win MVP this year. I mean, he's not having the kind of success he had last year. Judge is going to run away with MVP. But Ohtani is one of the most valuable players in the league. I would buy tickets to see Ohtani wherever he is.
Oh, of course. I'm sure you are going to.
And then Mike Trout. You get to see one of the best players in this generation.
Yeah. Trout's got a lot of family down here.
Does
he? Yeah, Trout. In fact, when Trout's in town, there's like 50 people. I met a lot of them.
He's from Jersey or Pennsylvania, though, right? Isn't he?
But he's got a ton of family over in the Plant City and Tampa area.
Oh, of course.
All right, so then at the end of the month, we travel to Boston, and who knows there? You don't know which version of Boston you're getting.
No.
And of course, they'll still be in the conversation for wild card. And then we go down.
I hope not, but yeah,
we all hope not. And then we go down and play Miami, the Marlins.
Okay.
So you're looking at we got Royals, Angels, and Marlins before we go through the juggernaut that is, of course, is September. So we've got to win 75-80% of those games.
I was going to say 65-70. Yeah. If we could pull 7 out of 10 on all those games. That should give us some breathing room into the wild card.
Well, September is brutal. Yankees, Boston, Yankees, Toronto, Texas, Houston, best record, and Toronto, and then we wind down with Cleveland on the road.
Oh,
and Houston on the road and Boston.
Yeah, that's not a
good look at September.
That's September.
We better kick some butt and take some names in the next 3 weeks.
Yeah. And like you said, though, that next three weeks includes a Yankees series. It includes a Red Sox series. Yeah, it's not an easy schedule from here on out.
No, it's not.
And the American League, I mean, like you said, Boston's improving. Toronto's already there. There's just so much talent in the American League. It's going to be a tough... It's going to be tough to make that wild card. I mean, the wild card does expand. But even what does it mean to get into the first round of the wild card now? It's a ticket to the playoffs, but It's good for the.
It's a money grab.
It is a money grab.
Two topics, and then I got to make a call to a gentleman on the golf course to talk about the great Bobby Bowden. Of course, we lost him just about a year ago.
Yep.
And as a Florida State grad, I'm sure he was near and dear to your heart.
Oh, very much so. It was him, and Gene Deckerhoff. Gene Deckerhoff, voice of the Seminoles. He's done. This is our first year. We're going to have a so in back-to-back years. We lost a legendary head coach. And then we lost the voice of the Seminoles. Both had been there 40-plus years. And it's a lot, you know. You don't want to be the guy that replaces the guy. You want to be the guy that replaces the guy that you want to be two or three away, you know, because you don't want that pressure stepping into a legend's shoes.
Well, let me ask you this.
When you leave, who's going to, you know, I got to step into your shoes. And that's legendary right there.
Yeah, you bet. We're a legend in my own mind, brother. Hey, Kate, so let's talk Florida State football. I mean, they got Barry Smith. It's going to be on in just a minute. Let's talk Florida State football as a graduate and a diehard fan.
Yep. I'm hoping for a 500 season. We haven't had one in a while. I'm hoping for a winning season. And it pains me to say that. It really does because...
You're ranked 50th in the country right now.
50th is not good.
Hey, Florida's ranked 30th. Miami is 19th. It's a sad state of affairs. UCF and USF and Florida Atlantic are all in the hundreds. We're talking about a state of 21 million. You just got done talking to high school. We're launching a new show, Prep Connection.
Oh, awesome.
There's more talent down here on any given Friday.
But you know what's weird?
You cannot, because of greed, fans' expectation. You know, the plight of college football these days just nauseates me.
Oh, yeah.
And you can't have four teams in the top 25, which you should have.
And considering we have seven, you know, what we, you know, the big three, USF, UCF,
Florida, FIU, and Florida Atlantic.
So we have eight teams.
Yeah.
Or seven teams.
Seven.
We can't get three of them in the top 25. I mean, 50% of them should
And the only one that's in is Miami 19.
Yeah.
And they're in the ACC. They're not going anywhere.
Nope. No, and that's, you know, the changing landscape of college, it's almost changing too fast to understand when you've got to create these organizations to help pay for the naming, licensing of players, and you're basically creating organizations that are basically buying free agent high school kids.
You think?
To come to...
It's horrible. Wait, is this your opinion on NIL, name, image, and likeness?
The whole NIL thing, it just... Colleges are creating fundraisers to get high school talent. Because they know that this kid is going to want to make, you know, $50,000 a year, $100,000 a year playing college football. And I get that. The kids need to get paid. You know, they're making so much money for the university, so much money for the NCAA. But to ask the boosters and to ask alumni that, like, hey, can you give us $1 million because we want to go recruit a high school quarterback?
Some cat just gave Miami $2 million. $2 million, he's a billionaire. Die hard Hurricanes. You can't compete with that.
No.
$2 million, do what you want with it. And then they discovered that they threw it into some BS name, image, and likeness marketing campaign, and they put it in billboard signs on highways that aren't traveled, so they're not seeing any images. It's just all BS. It's under this shroud of name, image, and likeness. And you know that you thought they were cheating before.
This opens up a terrible Pandora's box.
It already has.
I get phone calls and I get, you know, letters from Florida State and from USF. It's like, hey, give us some money. And I'm like,
would you send a quick mail?
Yeah, just give me. Just
why don't you just give them your book rights?
Yeah, no, those are mine. Those aren't gonna be mine forever.
I'm gonna have Vickers give his 15-20% since he's a flirty now to Florida State football.
But I feel like
he'll be able to take all the coaches, the kids. Wine and dine them.
If I was a millionaire and I gave a school $1 million and they flipped it into recruiting some high school quarterback from California or wherever, Texas or whatever, or even from Florida, and they give it to him, how is it impacting the average student? I want my money.
They don't care about him.
They don't. You know, I want my money to impact the average student. I want it to go to the Department of Business. I want it to go to the Department of whatever. So the average student's going to get better education, and the average student is going to be okay when they graduate. I don't want it to go to some high school quarterback who may or may not pan out, who then may or may not get the ratings because that TV.
I used to think you were a bright guy.
I'm trying.
You think for a second they give a damn about the students walking in those hallways?
No, it's all about four-year graduation rate. It's about graduation rate, period.
Yeah.
And then it's about four-year graduation rate. They're trying to turn kids that, you know, little Johnny comes in from, you know, average high school, say Seminole High School or whatever. Little Johnny, get him, load him up with classes, and get his debt, you know, get that student loan in so they get their money, and then churn him out into the real world with his debt, and boom, four years of classes, then shove him out into the real world. Oh, yeah, and then here's the letter and the envelope so you can keep donating to us. We know you're still in debt, $50,000, $100,000, because student loans, you know, you got to pay those off. But, yeah, please give us some more money because we got to go recruit the next high school quarterback.
Well, as
or running back,
Kirk Herbstreit, who I admire and know has his finger on the pulse, as he said last year, and I believe 100%, that the NCAA caused this issue by not sharing, you know, in some capacity prior. And it created this furor throughout the world of student athletes.
Yep.
When they saw the incredible contracts and the amount of money and the greed that the coaches had initiated, so they created their own problems.
Oh,
here.
They do. I feel like the NCAA is like a wounded lion right now, and I really wish that.
And there's no getting them back.
No, there's not. And I really wish that one of these smaller football leagues, the XFL or what's the USFL or something, would drop their minimums or drop their age limit, drop their whatever, you know, like you don't have to play college. You could go straight into the XFL or the USFL as an 18-year-old. Like, hey, look, if you're a five-star
recruit, that'll just be down the road.
We're going to start paying you. We will develop you. You know, like you're not going to start. I don't think there's going to be an 18-year-old college starter, you know, or an 18-year-old quarterback that's going to start in the USFL or XFL, but it's say, hey, look, we have pro coaches, we have pro facilities, we have pro money, we will pay you, you don't have to go to class. And you know, just like in the NBA or just like Major League Baseball, we're a minor league. The XFL or the USFL would just be a minor league for the NFL. And put a cap on like 25, 26 years old is the highest you can be. So just play 18 to 26.
Like a feeder system.
Like a feeder system.
Yeah, and that potentially could take place. Let's go back to baseball since I got your knowledge here.
Sure, yeah.
And I appreciate your input on the NIL.
It's not my strong point. But
you got a good feel for it.
Appreciate it.
And we talk a lot about it. Let's go back to where we are in the American League and the National League. So in the National League, you got the Dodgers running away with it. I mean, what's that, 14 straight?
Yeah.
I believe.
There's no catching them. I mean, the Padres are going to try, but, you know, I mean, not Tatis.
Good luck now. Tatis is done.
So
80 games.
So the interesting thing about Tatis, so clobetasol was the steroid that he got popped for.
I was wondering, now what is that?
Clobetasol is a skin, so I have psoriasis. And it's 100% under control right now because I'm on biologics and all sorts of stuff. But it's a drug that dermatologists give to clear up, like, really, really tough skin psoriasis or eczema or any kind of skin problem. And it's a top-grade steroid for your skin. And so he said it was ringworm. And some psoriasis does look like ringworm. I've had people look at psoriasis and be like, is that ringworm? No, that's just psoriasis. Oh, okay. So there is, you know, when you look at some ringworm tends to be rounder than psoriasis, is patchier. But it's
and ringworm occasionally you find it in locker rooms.
Yes. It's a fungus.
Yes.
So you can very well get it from a shower locker room or a gym or whatever, you know. It's not clean equipment, whatever. So it's rare, but you can get it. And he probably went to a dermatologist, and dermatologist was like, here, use this twice a day for 2 weeks, maximum 2 weeks.
Well, the players' union will be able to battle this, won't they?
They should, but he should have been smart enough to say, what's in that, doc? And the doc's like, oh, clobetasol. And we're like, oh, hey, team doc, is this on my list?
Yeah, I was going to say, do you think the majority of these guys know what's on that list? No, but they should go get advisor.
Right, so the team doctor should have looked at him and
And
been like, hey, there's this thing in my hand.
If this is a fact, he should be able to beat this.
He should.
That's not performance enhancing.
No,
it's not a PED.
Definitely not. If he was trying to get it for ringworm and it's if it is clobetasol, it's not a performance enhancing thing. It clears up your skin. But it's only something that you're supposed to use. Like for me, doctor's like, hey, twice a day for 2 weeks. If it's still there, come talk to me and we'll do something else. Like it's a concentrated steroid, but it doesn't make, if I put it on my arm, it doesn't make my arm stronger. It just helps my immune system fight whatever's on my skin. So
it looked like your guns were starting to get a bit bigger, buddy.
You know, I need to go to the gym, man. I'm not lying.
Yeah, I mean.
Hey, you know, I appreciate the compliment, though, you know.
Yeah, it's that psoriasis medicine.
Yeah, you know.
Jacking you up.
I put up enough psoriasis.
All right, so the Dodgers are running away.
Yep.
Padres will be in the wild card.
Yep.
The Giants are a mess. The Giants are a mess.
Yep.
I've always been a bit fond of the
Rockies
Giants.
The Rockies are so dysfunctional.
Well, I'm kind of a Rockies guy. I lived out there. Yeah, my son lives there, and I was there when they were the Denver Bears and Triple A back in the day.
I like that. I got a soft spot.
And it's a great park.
Yeah, I got a soft spot for the Rockies. Always have. It's you know, Denver's a great city, but and then
I was at a game a year ago in July.
Really? And they draw when they win. They draw when they win. It's just so mismanaged. They gave a closer like a long term contract recently, and it's like closers. It's closers.
Another ownership issue.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's the West Central. You got the Brew Crew. You got the Cardinals.
Pujols had a monster game the other day. Didn't he have 5 hits in a game or 4 hits?
I think he's got 9 dingers, too.
Yeah.
How old is he, 42?
This is supposed to be his last season, but he's only about 13, 14 away from 700. He's at 680-something home runs. I don't know if he sticks around just to get 700 or if he's like – 700 puts you in the top four. It's like Bonds, Aaron –
Is McGuire?
Rodriguez is in there. I don't think McGuire.
No, McGuire.
Oh,
no.
Ruth. It's Bonds, Aaron, Ruth, and I think Rodriguez.
Exactly. You're right.
And then, so, Pujols is fifth or sixth, and he could jump into 700 here if he plays one more. I don't think he will, though. I think this is the final year. That's why he went to St. Louis, just the victory lap around the stadiums. And so, I think he retires with just a hair under 700.
You know, he's a class act. I'm glad that they had him at the All-Star game this year.
They should do that every year. They should have a legend spot for both teams.
I agree.
And whoever has the most years in the league, the manager's like, hey, you've been playing in the league 18 years, 20 years. I don't care how many All-Star games you made. You're an All-Star for us. You know?
All right. So you're partial to the New York Mets, obviously.
Yes.
So let's talk about the New York Mets. Yes. And I just keep waiting for them to fade down the stretch. Philly's on a run right now. The Braves are loaded.
Yep.
What do you think in the East there?
I don't think the Mets fade. As much as Mets fans are preparing for,
they got DeGrom back. That's a big factor.
DeGrom and Scherzer.
Oh my!
You're not fading because at worst you're losing 3 in a row when the 3, 4, and 5 pitchers start, and then you're winning 2 in a row. So you're not fading with those two starters. And then they got some other good arms. Carrasco. They've got a solid other arms in there, and the bullpen's been solid. They're hitting. Pete Alonso here from Tampa Bay is having another monster year.
He's leading the NL in home runs.
Yep. And very few Mets have done that. I think Strawberry did it. I think Howard Johnson did it. Of course, Alonso's done it a few times. But, yeah, so, you know, they got the power. They got some clutch hitting. I've watched him a few times on ESPN. It's fun to watch. City Field's another one of those ones. When the team's hot, that stadium's rocking.
Well, you know, and I've been watching. Have you watched The Captain yet? Jeter.
Which one did I watch? I think I watched episode 3.
You got to watch all 4 of them.
All right, so there are only 4, 5, and 6 come out this week, I think.
Yes, but what I loved about it when they talked about the Subway Series.
Yeah, oh, that's when I saw that one, I think.
And so you've been to the Mets.
I have never been to Citi Field.
Oh, you haven't?
I've been
to Yankee Stadium several times. I've been over here in Tampa. But I just loved that city become so electric.
Oh, yeah.
And when both teams are having success, I pick up the New York Post every day, and let's see what today's was. I mean, there's always a story on Mets, Yankees, and the coverage, of course. I don't know. Now we got to go to Jets.
Oh, yeah. The odds of another Subway Series are real good this year. The odds of a Subway Series are pretty high. And they haven't done that since 2000. So, yeah, Mets-Yankees World Series. Yeah, you got the high ratings in New York City. You know, ESPN would be all over it. MLB Network would be all over it. It's historical. Whenever those two teams tangle... It is.
That's a lot of tease, brother.
It is.
Okay, Philadelphia Phillies. Bryce Harper. I'm not a fan of Bryce Harper.
He's in his own world. You know,
I've seen him not sign autographs. I say this quite often when I bring up the Phillies. I've seen him not sign autographs with kids up here in Clearwater.
Just infuriates talent, me. But sometimes he's a little bit arrogant. Yeah, I mean, not going to lie. He's not like Ricky Henderson arrogant or, you know.
Ricky
was an act.
Correct. Cocky confidence.
Yeah,
but he wasn't. He wasn't rude to the fan base.
Yeah, Bryce Harper gets a little rude, and I get it. He's been in the spotlight since he was 14, 15 years old. But at this point, dude, you know what the fans want. Just sign some autographs. I'm not asking you to be Brett Phillips, but you know, just hey guys, let me sign 10, 20 autographs a night. You know, whatever. You know, the fans walk away happy, and you make some new fans. You know, and that's what the game needs. The game really needs new fans. You know, I was listening to a...
New young fans.
And I was listening to a Marlins podcast, and this guy talked about the New Marlins ownership over the last 3 or 4 years, and he talked about how the Marlins seem to be just advertising to baseball fans. He's like, that's great, but what about trying to get new fans in Miami? I was like, Miami is a football and basketball and all that stuff, and you need to start winning over new fans in baseball all over the... You know, every city needs to start winning new fans. You know, who's your most marketable people? Put them out there. You know, obviously, Brett Phillips was our most
marketable. I was just going to ask you, how are you in the new stadium, if you're the GM, putting butts in the seats over there?
Oh, man.
Besides a new venue, everybody will want to come see.
Everybody will want to go see a new venue in about 3 to 5 years. So you got a 3 to 5 year stadium bump. You know, you get about 50% new attendance every year, new stadium season bump. Miami only saw it for about 1 or 2 years, and then they realized it was a garbage product, and the fans just didn't want to go. So I really feel like, okay, so if you're averaging, say, 13, you'll probably average close to 20,000 a night here for the first 3 or 5 years. Then that's when I think Sternberg sells. I think he sells when the stadium situation's already done, and I think when the team attendance is as high as it's going to be, he's going to sell. An interesting idea I posted on Twitter this week on my TB Baseball Market, MKT Market Twitter account, is I said, what if the Seminole Indians were to buy the Rays?
They could.
They very well could. They got the money. So I saw in the news, and I worked for this.
I had not heard this angle come out of anybody's mouth.
So a defense company here in Tampa, one I work for, so I'm not going to name them, but a defense company here just was acquired by a Native American tribe, the fourth biggest Native American tribe in the U.S., wanted to expand their business holdings and get into government contract. So they bought this government contract company out of Tampa. It was a great move for everybody involved, you know. And but I got to thinking, I was like, the Seminoles are like the second or third biggest financial, you know, tribe in the country. They've got billions of dollars. But what if they were like, let's buy the Tampa Bay Rays? Like, let's just buy them and put sports betting in the stadium and, you know, everything that we can do here as under our purview with Seminole gambling and everything like that. So, and then we'd own the team and buy it from Stu Sternberg. Like, I don't know how Major League Baseball would react to a tribe owning a team. I don't know if a tribe has ever owned a pro sports team, but I'm just like doing a thought exercise, like what would it mean for the Rays? What would it mean for the tribe?
I would think it'd be quite a statement of inclusion. That's for dang sure.
Oh, 100%.
And they'd have a pretty easy go of it because no one would want to not agree with it because
right.
Then they would be looking like they are trying to constrict their ability to be included in this billionaire good old boys network.
And you
right?
take the profits of the state of the team, which, you know, the Rays are profitable. Stu Sternberg is making money.
Of course. Eighth most profitable, was it last year?
So, yeah, he's up there in the top 10. You know, he's not the Yankees, he's not the Dodgers. But yeah.
But when your attendance is where it's at, and you're still in the top 10,
and you're still making money,
you know how to make money.
Yeah, Stu Sternberg is no dummy. He's still making money. So imagine if a tribe bought a team, that money would go back to the tribe. You know, you got the top, you know, the CEO and all that stuff. But that money gets funneled back into the tribe. The tribes make money. Like, they get a stipend from the tribe every year.
I'm very familiar. My daughter-in-law and my grandchildren are native, and they have the same arrangement. With their tribe.
So imagine if now you've got a pro sports team and their revenue going back to the tribe. It can only help the tribe.
You're listening to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network. We're live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. We're 4-10. You'll have the Baltimore Orioles and the Tampa Bay Rays doing battle. It is Chop at the Trop.
Chop at the Trop.
And you'll be there as an FSU graduate doing the chop. And then, of course, as soon as that game's over and the Rays get a win, walk back over here to Ferg's. There's a concert, and you've got the Bucks and the Miami Dolphins and their only home preseason game. And then on 9/11, that Sunday, is the home opener against the Dallas Cowboys. Hey, what do you need? Your steroid for your arm you've been throwing a lot lately?
I was leaning on the table and my arm went asleep. So, you know, that's what happens when you get
over
40.
Man, you're getting old.
When that's what happens when you get over 40. You know, your pitching arm starts
falling asleep. I really feel sorry for you. You want to change birth certificates? I think not.
You might have a spare cane in your closet, right?
Yeah, yeah. I got a walker ready for you down on the beach. He's Michael Lortz. He is the author of Curveball at the Crossroad. He's been consistently a guest to share his story of his book. Let the audience know where they can get it. Let the audience know how long you're going to be down here today.
So, Curveball at the Crossroads, it's a story of a young baseball player who hurts his arm and makes a deal with the devil to get back in the game. It's got that old Crossroads Southern folklore with mixed with some classic baseball fiction. I will be here at Ferg's until probably about 4:30-ish or so. And selling some books. I'll have them for $15 each. And come on by. I do give a free pack of baseball cards with every purchase of the book. I sign it. So you get a signed copy of the runner-up book of the year here in Tampa Bay last year. And so I'll be here. If you can't make it out, the book is available anywhere fine books are sold, your local bookstores. I just put a book in Wilson's Book World here in St. Pete. So classic bookstore that's been around since the 70s. It's available at Tombolo Books, Books at Park Place. It's available at quite a few bookstores. It's also available on Amazon for 60% off.
Hey, you're a baseball fan. Mark Ferguson is here getting ready for Chop at the Trop. Mark Ferguson is actually going to throw out the first pitch.
Oh, fantastic.
Mark, is that September 5th?
September 5th
against
the Red Sox.
So we'll have a lot of fun that day.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, he's an old baseball player. We got to see if he's still got it.
Yeah, he's probably been practicing in the parking lot, right? Setting somebody up about 60.
Oh, I guarantee there's going to be some practice. He's not going out without some practice.
I would love to. You ever thrown on a first pitch? I would love to do
no.
a minor league game.
Why would they want me to throw out a first pitch?
You telling me with all the minor league, high school game, whatever.
I worked for the AAA Iowa Cubs, and I still couldn't
throw out
the first pitch.
Hey, Iowa Cubs, Mike needs to throw out the first pitch.
I was there in April. I came back, and they didn't even offer me.
Oh.
All right, my man. Well, I appreciate you. I'm going to make a phone call and talk a little high school football with Hillsborough High's Earl Garcia.
All right.
I'll be done in 15 minutes, and we'll visit. How's that?
Mike, always a pleasure, man. Thank you for having me on.
You betcha. Michael Lortz, always kind enough to come and share his knowledge, his wisdom. He's a journalist great day down here at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. It's going to get even better now as we talk a little high school sports across the bay with Earl Garcia, the head football coach of the Hillsborough High. How are you, Earl?
I'm good, man. Just got done with a couple of practice scrimmages over at Jesuit High School.
Oh, we over there with Coach Thompson. How'd that go?
Well, we did all right. We had two balls thrown over our head. You can tell we are a little rusty, but we lost to Sumner 7-0, and we tied Plant 7-7. So no one got hurt, and all the problems are correctable, Mike. So we're good.
Well, that's the beauty of it, and this isn't your first rodeo, of course. Why don't you share with my audience, now that you're on our network, we're reaching the Tri-County area. Anyone in high school sports is familiar with the name Earl Garcia, and congratulations on your honor. You're going to be inducted into the Florida High School Coaches Hall of Fame in 2023. I applaud you for that. So talk a little bit about your career and how you got to the point where you're at now, my friend.
Well, thank you, Mike. It's very humbling to even think about the state FACA Hall of Fame. And that covers all sports. It's just an amazing thing to think that I'm going to be going in there. Let me tell you, football has got a lot of moving parts. So this is the consummate team sport. That really is a shout out to all the assistant coaches that I've had the pleasure of working with through the years, and literally thousands of young men I've had a chance to to work with in 49 years. This is my 49th year. So I've been blessed. I have a Hall of Fame wife, that's for sure. When you make or don't make the money that we do in high school, to have the support from my wife, Gilda, who's a principal here in Hillsborough County, it's been a blessing, Mike.
Yeah, you had shared with me that night that I was fortunate to come over and hang out with you and the officials and the coaches, which I kind of love that camaraderie, about your wife and her role in your family, and God bless her and any teachers out there as they started school this past year in Hillsborough County, as we're well aware of, in need of people to come into your profession. I come from a family of educational professionals, and it's sad. But anyway, that's for another topic. Let's talk about close to 150, 120 kids that you have assisted over this 49 years to get scholarships and to play at the next level?
Literally, Mike, I have forgotten how many we've had, but we've been here about, as I said, this is my 49th year overall. It's about 35 at Hillsborough. So we had 15 kids sign last year alone. So I would say we're closing in on the 200 mark, and that's at all levels, not just at Division I, but, you know, AA, 2, NAIA, and junior college as well. We've been blessed to have good athletes, and I have a staff of guys, a team of coaches that work during the off season to help place these kids.
You know, I've always said all the years I covered high school sports in the Midwest, irregardless, you know, of people's opinion, because they just get mesmerized by Division I. If you've got a youngster in any sport that's able to garner an opportunity to continue D3, NAIA, as you said, D2, junior college, yep, community college, you're a heck of an athlete, and there's opportunities out there. And I applaud you for finding those for these kids, because a lot of people figure, well, if it Division I opportunities aren't out there, my kid's no good. And I'm far from it, for cripe's sakes.
Far, far from it. Let me tell you, there's it takes more work, actually, from a coaching staff's position to find Division II, Division III, NAIA schools than the Power Five, because the Power Five, obviously, the kids are very gifted. They're world-class athletes. We had one sign with a Power Five school last year, and he was, it was very apparent. But you're exactly right. Some of the greatest players in NFL history came from Division II schools. I personally think the best running back in the NFL, which was Walter Payton, he came from HBCU. So you're darn right.
If Jackson State.
If you get a chance to go, that's special.
Well, let's talk about this 2022 season and your club. You know, at one of the things that amazed me, Coach Thompson was sharing that with me, you guys make your own schedule?
Absolutely not.
Oh, no. Good. Pinellas County has to, yeah.
Yeah, our county athletic director, Mr. Landis Robinson, makes the football schedules. And we start with the districts that we get from the Florida High School Activities Association. Then he fills in with basically our county opponents. Because, Mike, it's gotten so dang expensive to travel in school buses anymore with the fuel costs. We all familiar with that. So, you know, we're going to take care of our county first. So we're playing, county schools here at Hillsborough all season.
Well, let's talk about your start. You start this Friday, I believe. Who do you play? And that game doesn't go against your win-loss record or your power ranking. Talk about that game and what your schedule looks like, Coach.
Well, that's the one game that we can go out and get is the Fall Classic, which basically is a preseason contest. Like the Bucks are getting ready to tee it up against Miami tonight. We'll tee it up against Clearwater, which is a outstanding program. They went to the third round of the state playoffs as we did last year, and we get to go over and play on their new turf field. So we're excited about that. We get to go over and play four quarters of football. So we're 6 days away, Mike.
You know, I came from the Midwest all 7 years ago and decided that talking to people down here, they said that unfortunately, high school football is underserved a lot in the media. So I thought I'd dive in with my same concept of positive participation and perspective. And one of the things, I started going to games, and I'll tell you, Earl, coming from Iowa, you know, we got a lot of big boys that play in the bigs and all over the country. But it's amazing the speed on these high school on these high school teams that you've been coaching for 49 years. I just had the Boca Ciega kids on on the air with Coach Gudorf here, and he's got all kinds of speed. But unfortunately, you know, and they're an average team. There's speed everywhere in the state of Florida.
But Mike, 2 years ago, we had Arion Knighton, who was an Olympian, on our football team. And he had never run track before. And he came out for football, and after about 3 to 5 minutes, we're kind of like, that guy there is special. Who is this? He didn't even run track. So, yes, you're exactly right. We have an Arion Knighton-type guy, a Lindsey Lamar, who was a world-class sprinter as well. But across the board, the athleticism of Florida high school football is as good as it gets in the country.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that Arion Knighton question. You just answered it for me. I bet when he started running those routes, you were hoping that you had a quarterback to get the rock to him because he's blowing by everybody, right?
That's for sure. We had to get him quick, or else we'd have to throw the ball twice to get it to him. I mean, he was – not only was he fast, he was competitive as heck, and he loved to block downfield. He probably got 3 unnecessary roughness penalties for blocking downfield. His junior year, he was great, man. It was a lot of fun to coach. But
Arion Knighton liked to block, and I mean, he just looked so calm and cool and collected. I just watched him race 2 nights ago. He got 2nd again, which is phenomenal. He's got the 4th fastest time in the history of the 200 meters at 19 years young. He looks so calm and collected, and he'd like to go head hunting, huh?
Arion would ask me if he could play defense, and he'd never played defense ever. So, of course, we put him in free safety, and that's the consummate free safety, Mike. I mean, he could cover a lot of ground, and he would knock your lights out, too. He's a tough kid. I enjoyed coaching him, man. He came every day and loved to play football, and he'll tell you, I'm going to play football before it's all over, said and done. And, of course, he's still able to play college ball because, you know, he can – he's a pro in track. He can't compete in track in the NCAA, but he certainly can compete. And don't be surprised if he doesn't sign with a college pretty soon.
Hey, let's go back to, you know, everybody asks you the X's and O's in your history. Let's go back to the Wednesday night that I was fortunate enough to meet you guys over there at J.C. Newman and Cigar Factory. And being an outsider, it's one of the most impressive things I've done being 7 years down here, I'll tell you right now, and I got a little tour. But what I loved, and Lannis coordinating all this, is the camaraderie between the officials and the coaches absolutely blew me away. You guys are just buddies away from the field. Talk about how that's been nurtured and what a great event that Eric has hosted and an official for, you know, 3-4 decades himself.
Yep. Oh, absolutely. I think he was 36 or 38 years. Well, you know, gentlemen or ladies that officiate for an extended period of time are doing it for the same reason that coaches who do it for an extended period of time do it, for the love of the game, love of kids, to help the kids get to where they want to be and be successful. And so I have tremendous respect. I'm probably the easiest guy on the sideline on the officials because I empathize with them. We had that scrimmage that we had today was an officials official training, and I knew most of the guys there. Being in this area for 49 years, Mike, I know most of them, and it's great to see them. I applaud them. I treat them with the utmost respect because what they do is we can't do anything that we do without them. So I don't think I've ever gotten a 15-yard penalty, and don't ever expect to get one either. Those guys are fabulous.
Well, yeah, they're fabulous, and you know, I was I can't think of his name. I had him on the show. I'm getting old. I had him on the show two weeks ago. He heads up the officials. He's a doctor.
Greg Kaiser.
What a great guy. He came on the show, and we had some yucks talking about some of the situations when a coach does get a little upset. But he's a composed guy, organized guy, and there he is. You know, he doesn't need the money. It's for the love of the game.
No. Greg Kaiser is the head of the WCOA, West Coast Officials Association. Let me tell you something about Greg. Not only is he an official, he's a person that has given back. He personally petitioned the National High School Federation to change the rules to protect the quarterbacks, and we finally got it passed. I think Greg petitioned those guys for 10 years in a row and finally got it done. So now, in the state of Florida and in America, because of Greg Kaiser, the quarterbacks can down the ball, can get outside the pocket, throw the ball away, and not be called for intentional grounding so he can protect himself. And that was not the rule until this year, and that rule change was 100% attributed to Dr. Kaiser. And I can call him or text him 7 days a week about a interpretation of a rule I might need clarification on. He's spot on. He answers me quicker than my wife does when I text her, Mike.
I tell you what, I was really impressed with that dude, and that the story you just shared is extremely impressive. At the as you said, the national level. My word.
Absolutely. It was a national federation rule that he kept on those folks, and as only Dr. Kaiser can do. Highly intelligent, highly organized, highly motivated, and he kept after them, and they finally changed the rule because of him. And I can't thank him enough. And all the quarterbacks' mamas out there need to thank him too.
All right, Coach. Well, I appreciate you taking time. I know how busy you are this time of year, and we're honored to have you here on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. I'll stay in touch during the course of the season. I'll come across the bay. I'll grab my buddy Barry Smith, and we'll come. We'll catch one of your games, and we'll meet Chris Griffin there as well, and have some fun.
Please do, Mike. I appreciate you putting high school sports back out in the forefront. You know, with the demise of the written word, our kids are getting shortchanged in terms of positiveness. And so, anything you can do to help any of our boys, and I mean, or girls anywhere, we appreciate it, man. Thank you very much.
We're on it. Thank you very much. And that's Earl Garcia, Hall of Fame football coach. 49 years, folks. Oh, my gosh. That's a commitment to youth. And his wife, a principal. God bless him. And very fortunate to have developed that relationship so I can keep my finger on the pulse across the bay, as they say. All right. Well, it's been an absolute blast today with a lot going on. For Captain Jeff Vickers. That conversation, by the way, is brought to you by Body Armor. What a cool story about Arian Knighton, the world-class 200-meter runner from Hillsboro High. I want to thank Body Armor for all of our conversations, Boca Ciega, and, of course, with Coach Earl Garcia. For Captain Jeff Vickers, Matt Gudorf, and the Boca Ciega Pirates, Michael Loritz, Coach Earl Garcia, Joe Bedreau, and Big Ed on the controls, I'm Mike Rickard, and my new right-hand man, Colton Ryan. Thanks for listening to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection and wishing you and your families a fabulous weekend. God bless you. God bless America. And be sure to have a championship week.